Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And good morning, good morning. Hey, I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon. I've got Dr. Samara Humat, both here. And seeing that every time you come into the studio, Jerry, my blood pressure goes up, I thought maybe this one. And I also get choked up here for some reason. I thought it good timing to talk about blood pressure.
All right. How about this? I always thought that it was Samara and humans of her gender that raised your blood pressure.
A different kind
They're
of
the ones
blood
that raised
pressure.
My blood pressure.
Oh, he likes that blood pressure that I
one
could raise.
One is associated with stress. One is associated with...
I can't know that. Oh, I see. Okay.
I was waiting to see what you would say, Pete.
I became speechless.
He says that I'm stress-causing. Well, it's true. I do not accept stress. I would far rather give it than accept it for myself.
Sure, we
so
know that.
That's just the way that works. Okay. Well, I came across a rather interesting paper during this course of this week. And it is on tea and blood pressure.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Both green and black tea have the propensity of lowering, not raising blood pressure.
Interesting.
Despite the fact that they contain caffeine.
Yes.
And people say, oh, no, you can't do that if you have high blood pressure because, you know, the caffeine.
Right.
No, the caffeine is a very modest component to start with. And it turns out that the epicatechin gallates and the epigallocatechin gallate 3 both lower blood pressure. They impact the ion channels in the arteries of your, the small arteries, the arterioles.
Uh-huh.
They dilate your arteries and they lower your blood pressure.
Hmm.
And so if you have hypertension, you really can drink tea. Coffee, a lot more caffeine. Many people get elevated blood pressure.
Sure.
But tea, no.
Yeah. Okay.
So feel free. Yes. If you're hypertensive, feel free to drink tea.
Now, people could also drink decaffeinated green or black tea, couldn't they?
They could. They could, yes. although, as I said, the epigallocatechins actually lower blood pressure far more than the caffeine would raise it.
So, interesting.
It's fascinating that these same compounds have an impact on brain receptors, the brain receptors for benzodiazepines.
Okay.
The same ones that Valium hit in your brain.
Uh-huh.
These gallates hit in your brain too. And so the only paper I have ever in my entire career that used the word zen-like effect.
Really?
Was in green tea.
Interesting.
And mood. It turns out that tea does cause you to mellow out and relax, and because it stimulates the same receptors in your brain that Valium hits.
Interesting.
Except it's not addictive.
Yeah. Okay.
And so now we know that not only does it mellow you out, but it also lowers your blood pressure. And it doesn't just lower your blood pressure because you've been mellowed out.
Yeah.
It has a direct effect on your arterioles.
Okay. Interesting. So, Jerry, I'm curious. Did the article say anything about how you consume the green and black tea and how much? With how particularly, you know where I'm going with this, right? Because if, say, for example, me in India, people drink their black tea. I mean, I don't put sugar, but most people drink it loaded
with sugar,
sugar and cream.
Yeah. And the Brits load it with lots and lots of milk and
yes.
cream. Yeah. Well, it turns out that the sugar is not as big a problem.
Okay.
Except sugar is high calorie.
It is. So, yes.
And
weight gain.
And for some people, it is a stimulant. And you're trying to drink something that will mellow you out, and you're hitting yourself with a sugar high at the same time. Probably not smart. And, of course, the tea itself is calorie free. You are not going to get one calorie from it. But if you add milk and sugar, you're going to get lots of extra calories. So, no, I'd say no. And the biggest problem that I have also seen, though, is that the milk actually chelates the epigallocalic and gallate. And so it prevents you from absorbing it very efficiently.
Interesting. Okay, good
so,
to know.
Yeah, so the cancer protective effects of tea are basically antagonized by adding milk to your tea.
Okay, so not only will it help lower blood pressure, you said it'll also help lower cancer risk now.
It does. The black teas have more impact on lowering your risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, and in part probably because of the blood pressure lowering effect. And the green teas lower your risk of a wide variety of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Breast cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancers are all lowered by significant consumption of green teas.
And so how many cups should people be thinking about consuming if they want to lower their risk?
Well, that depends in part on how much tea you add to your water. The compounds we're looking for in tea are very water-soluble, hot water at least. So very good. The problem that people get into is not from drinking too much tea. It's when they eat tea. There are people that consume large quantities of green teas as a weight control effort.
Yes, they do. Okay. Yeah.
And some of these are actually sold as anti-fat and weight loss teas. And it's true, green tea does inhibit the formation of the adipocytes, the fat cells.
Mm.
You decrease your formation of new fat cells. And of course, as old fat cells die, as every cell in your body dies eventually and gets replaced, people who consume 4 and 5 cups of green tea a day, and that gets you the number you're looking for.
Yeah.
Right now, 4 to 5 cups of green tea a day tend to be about 15% less body fat than people who don't drink green tea.
Wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's not a rapid effect, though. You don't start drinking tea and now you suddenly lose the fat.
Right.
They're talking about people that consume it for years. People who, as a cultural aspect, have always drank a lot of tea, and they continue to drink a lot of tea, because what's happening is as their old fat cells die, new ones are not formed as efficiently.
Hmm. Okay.
But so what you're doing is you're not making old fat cells die.
Hmm.
Okay. You got the fat cells you got, but the tea helps you to prevent new fat cells. And as there is normal attrition of the old ones, your body fat tends to drop.
Long-term prevention.
So you're talking about long-term use of tea as a body fat reduction method.
Right. I mean, I know for a fact, fat cells are hard to get rid of.
Oh, God, yes. Now, some people, I'm going to delve into theology here for just a moment.
Okay.
Some people heard what I just said.
Okay.
And felt that I've committed a sin.
Uh-oh. Well, that's very possible, but which one are we talking about?
I said, oh, God, yes.
Oh.
And some people will
believe. I say
believe,
that all the time.
Some people will believe that is using the name of the Lord in vain.
Oh, I see.
And that particular scripture does not actually apply and was not aimed at people who simply say what we just said. What that's aimed at, well, let me give you an example, okay? Stop in the name of the law. You've all seen that? The cop, he represents the law, and he says, stop in the name of the law. that same injunction applied to early Judaism and then later to Christianity,
mm-hmm.
in that someone who speaks in the name of God,
mm-hmm.
and speaks not what God would actually say, but uses his name in vain,
mm-hmm.
uses God's name to command you to do or not do something that God really doesn't care about,
mm-hmm.
they have committed the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not saying the word,
yes.
for deity.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the misrepresentation of your authority to speak in his, her, or their name.
Got it.
Good.
Interesting.
Understood, yeah.
Well, okay, now we're talking about blood pressure reduction.
It's a what medical show.
I know, but you guys know me.
No, I'm not complaining.
I wander everywhere.
That was an interesting tidbit,
yes,
which I agree
is.
With. But COVID,
yes.
is affected by
yes.
blood pressure.
It so certainly is.
Absolutely.
Blood pressure is the second most important risk factor for serious adverse effects from COVID. There are four things
mm-hmm.
that account for 88% of the hospitalizations and deaths for COVID. Only four conditions. Okay. Number one, obesity. Obesity is the highest risk factor you have for being hospitalized or dying from COVID. Second most important risk factor is blood pressure, hypertension. That's one most people think of as a long-term but kind of a low risk. You know, yeah, I should get my blood pressure down. No, it's the number two risk factor for being hospitalized or dying from COVID. The third one is diabetes, which, of course, is related to the first one, obesity.
That's right.
Okay. And the fourth one is heart failure.
Yeah.
For which women are significantly more at risk than men because women have lower testosterone levels, and testosterone makes all of your muscles stronger, including your heart.
Right. And I was surprised at the statistics about heart failure, Jerry. 1 million people are diagnosed with heart failure every year. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Very common, and most of them are women.
Yeah. Scary.
Really?
Yeah.
Most of them are women.
Most of them women.
In my mind, most heart attacks are in men.
It's heart failure, not heart attacks. Myocardial infarction, where you clot off a vessel and kill a part of the heart, and hence you may die too, that is very different from heart failure.
Gotcha. Okay.
Heart failure is where the pump itself, where the heart muscle is inadequate to the job, and you simply can't pump enough blood. And so the fluid starts to back up.
That's right.
This sort of comes back and reinforces what we've been talking about, you know, why Longevity Medical Clinic has been doing so well since the pandemic hit, because people are starting to realize that what you just said is true, and getting serious about your health, knowing that a pandemic will do double time on your body if you're fat, you have blood pressure issues,
diabetes
and heart failure.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. boy, talk about a time to get serious about your health.
For sure, yeah.
So with that in mind, let me just point out again that if you would like a free health analysis appointment, you need to go to our website. It is easy to make one of our free health analysis appointments. You get two free tests, the blood test, of course, the A1C blood test, and then also the special InBody, which is an amazing process that you'll love going through that process. Quick and easy. The two free tests, along with $100 of free longevity supplements, just for coming to a free appointment. You'll help better understand what some of your basic health risks are when you get these two free tests, and you get the results of them during your appointment. That's a big deal. You need to know that. So you'll walk away with information. To make an appointment, it is very easy. All you do is go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, push the schedule now button, and there you go. Very easy to do. You can make an appointment in any of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. Just as easy as that at lmclinic.com. And of course, if you don't have access to the internet, you can call us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Well, that's a good way to start the show. It's
well, I'm glad you approve.
I liked it. It was good stuff. And it's time for a break, and we will be back before you know it. Don't forget, lmclinic.com. Go ahead and make one of those free appointments. Believe me, you will be so glad you did.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age.
When considering stem cell therapy, it only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho. Listen to what a satisfied patient had to say.
I'm in my mid-70s, and I had had my left knee replaced. I just hated that whole process, and that motivated me not to do that again. It's time to get information about other alternatives, and I want people to know right from the beginning that I was so impressed by your staff, and so I got all my questions answered and was really guided very carefully, and that meant a lot to me. So I would say you are not taking any risk or losing anything by using this opportunity of contemporary medicine.
And comparing one to the other on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say the stem cells a 10, the knee replacement to me like a 3. And it's a miracle, really.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho in Kirkland. 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000.
Just to let you guys know, I've listened to the show for, I think, decades, and I really appreciate this show. So thank you.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Two Faces, Lou Christie. It's kind of a weird story. I was asked to fill in for Lou Christie at an event back in the 60s, obviously. And he was not suitable to go on stage, let's put it that way. And I was able to take over for him. I had to fill in for the special music. Kind of a fun day. Listen, we started off the whole first part talking about blood pressure reduction, the importance of doing that. Oh my goodness. This is really good information. I want to remind you, you can always come back and listen to this program by going to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top right-hand side of the page. And probably by Monday, it'll be there, and you can listen to this hour, even though we just got started. I'm letting you know, if you hear something today on Leading Edge Medicine, you can come back to it. By Monday, it's usually up and running on our website as a podcast. So that's good news. So in the meantime, let's take a call. Let's go to Renton and talk to Kathy. Hello, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. Have you read the book called China RX?
No.
I think her name was Rosemary Gibson. I was listening to the radio last night, and she was on the radio. She wrote this book about a year ago. It talked about how our medication and some of the supplements, the vitamins, are all made in China.
Well, not all.
And but I mean the main ingredients, like they said, the vitamin C, the ascorbic acid, comes. We kind of gave up manufacturing here because it was cheaper to do it there.
Yep.
And so if something like the flu, like we're having right now, was really bad, that we could run out of medication. So some of it being really important medication.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just the it's not just the flu meds, but yes, the reality is the United States, we have more lawyers than the rest of the world put together, and we are a litigious society. And so if you make medications in America, you are at high risk of getting sued and losing everything. Okay. Also, our production costs are higher than they are overseas. So for both protection against litigation and manufacturing costs, most of those moved offshore to Asia, where people work cheaper and where the courts won't allow you to be sued. You do any damn thing you want. Although the penalties, if the government decides you screwed up, are more severe than here.
That is the super understatement right there.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
The head of the Chinese FDA was accused of taking bribes to approve drugs that shouldn't have been approved. So he was accused. He was tried 2 weeks later, and the following day they took him out and shot him in the head.
Oh, my God.
So getting executed gave a strong message to the rest of the Chinese FDA. We shot a few of our officials. They might straighten up, too.
Now, we are not suggesting that.
So, goodness, Jerry.
Let's face it. If you worked for the Chinese FDA and your boss just got shot for taking a bribe, you going to take a bribe? No. That's
right. And yet bribery is a part of the
culture.
Oh,
it's endemic, sure. Yeah. In fact, you don't get rich in China unless you take bribes. Yeah. I've got some acquaintances who are policemen there who make five times as much under the table as they do from their salary. And it's just the way business is run in China. It is a inherently corrupt society. It is not where we should be making our drugs. It just is not. But if we want to make them in America, we need to do a couple of things. One is we need to revise our legal code to give some protection to the people that make our drugs. Okay. So the trouble with that is, of course, most of our politicians are lawyers, and the number one contributor to the politicians in America are the lawyers. Mm-hmm. and so the laws are made to keep the lawyers in business. But as long as that's the case, we are not going to be able to bring drug manufacturing back to America. It's just not going to happen. So if we don't want to do it in China, we better pick some other countries. You can make it in Mexico, you can make it in Bangladesh, you can make it in the Philippines, you make it wherever you want where there's low-cost labor. China is probably the worst place on earth that we should be making it, because it is the most corrupt place on earth.
Okay?
Sorry.
Thank you.
I wish that wasn't true, but it is.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. You, Dr. Mixon, you kind of bummed out about 5,000 people right here.
About that. But, I don't make reality. I just comment on it.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that so many things are made in China today. We lost track a long time ago of how much we send overseas.
Yes.
And then we think it's made here or partially made here or assembled here. But so much is done there because
the company is
labor and law.
The company came from here.
Yeah.
But like, much of Apple.
Yes.
Apple is a quote, an American company, but much of their headquarters for tax purposes is in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Although they don't make much in Ireland, that's their headquarters because they get lower taxes in Ireland. And, most of their manufacturing is in China.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's true.
Yeah. And, if Apple wanted to bring its manufacturing back here and move that 100,000 jobs or so back to America, that would be a very good thing, but it would cost them more to make their iPhones. How much more are you willing to pay for your iPhone to have it made in America?
Well, China, from their perspective, they started the trade wars back in the 90s, and they have a talk about a powerful lobby.
Oh,
my golly. It's good that at least some of that is being rectified, but thank you, Kathy, for your call about that. Let's go to Buckley and talk to Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can we help?
Okay, can I give you a quick rundown on a...
needs to be quick.
Go ahead.
Needs to be quick.
A cholesterol test. It's Cholesterol 266, triglycerides 154, HDL 51, LDL 184, and then it says non-LDL 215, and then it says the ratio is 5.22.
Yes.
Is that some high cholesterol?
Crummy, really crummy. Yes, yes. I would like to see your total cholesterol down at 180 or so, 160, 180. I'd like to see your LDL below 80, preferably down in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah. And your ratio of you know, total cholesterol to HDL, I'd love to see that down around 3.4, 3.5, if I can.
3.45.
Yeah, okay. About 4 is, quote, normal. So, you know, if you want the average risk of heart disease, that ratio needs to be about 4. But in a man, 3.6 is much better.
Right. This is my wife. So,
well, a woman should be lower. A woman,
really?
Yeah, we shoot for about 3.4, 3.5 in a woman.
Okay. So, I got a question. What's the best thing a person can actually take to lower their cholesterol?
Well, if you're just talking about lowering cholesterol, the statins work very, very well. Unfortunately, they have a significant impact, you know, on memory and brain function and muscle function. But you know, if you're only thing you're looking at is cholesterol, the statins work very well for that.
I try to
avoid them if I can get the cholesterols in a good place without them. But there's about 5% of our patients we still need the statins for.
Right. She can't take them. It causes so bad of cramps that it almost is going to give her a heart attack with the pain.
Yeah,
so.
Well, then our goal with her would be to decrease her production of statins, and B, have her metabolize and burn them more efficiently. So, you know, but that's not, there's no one thing I can tell you that's going to accomplish that. That's why we have the clinic. We put her on a comprehensive program to change her metabolism and shift her towards making muscle instead of fat, to decrease her inflammation, you know. So that's what longevity exists for.
So does resveratrol or Prevagen actually help to decrease the senescent cells?
Resveratrol decreases the production of senescent cells. It inhibits the transformation from a healthy to a senescent cell. It doesn't get rid of senescent cells that already exist.
Okay. And there's nothing over the counter that a person could take to get rid of those besides?
No. Unfortunately, the most effective thing that has been published thus far is a combination of dasatinib and quercetin. Quercetin doesn't work very well by itself, but in conjunction with the dasatinib, it works very well.
Okay. I thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks, Charlie. Hey, don't forget, we got to go into a break. Sorry about that. We just have to. I'm rarely on time, but we're going into a break. Don't forget, if you want to grab one of our free health analysis appointments, and you do, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. It'll take you 3 minutes. You might be able to do it during the break. I suggest you try. We'll be right back. Hey, don't forget, we got to go into a break. Sorry about that. We just have to. I'm rarely on time, but we're going into a break. Don't forget, if you want to grab one of our free health analysis appointments, and you do, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. It'll take you 3 minutes. You might be able to do it during the break. I suggest you try. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Pete Talbot again, and we are so proud here on Leading Edge Medicine to have such respected and truly qualified medical doctors, researchers, and plenty of guests on our show. This is especially true with Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. But you need to know, it's not just my opinion.
What impressed me is that they're extremely professional, high-tech. I was there getting different tests and so forth. And I was extremely impressed because I've been to another ophthalmologist, and to tell you the truth, it was old school. And all of his staff, they treat you well. You just feel like you're at a party. You just feel comfortable. It was just awesome.
If it's been over a year since you've had your eyes checked, call and schedule an appointment with one of the Northwest's best, Dr. Michael Gilbert at Northwest Vision Institute. Call 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020.
Longevity Medical Clinic is happy to announce that Longevity Development, the business and marketing arm of Longevity Medical Clinic, has entered a strategic management relationship with Paramount Pharmacy. As a medical clinic, we cannot tell anyone where they have to go to fill their compounded prescriptions. We can only make suggestions. But for the last 2 years, we have referred our patients to Paramount Pharmacy for three key reasons. Excellent quality control, excellent pricing, and excellent customer service. And now, due to our new management oversight and relationship, Longevity Development and Paramount are actually working together to better serve our patients. A team approach to better healthcare. It truly can make a difference. And now, to celebrate and to convince you that we truly feel we can better serve your health needs while saving you money, Paramount has agreed to make an offer to all new patients willing to give Paramount a try. On your first prescription only, Paramount is offering you a 90-day supply for their 30-day cost. That's right, a 90-day prescription for the 30-day cost. All you need to do is call Paramount at 425-251-1660. It's as simple as that. Call 425-251-1660.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. If you're thinking about attending a seminar, go. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Pete Talbot here. You are listening. Yes, you are. To Leading Edge Medicine today with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat.
And I hope whoever's singing about that 16-year-old girl is no older than 18.
That's right. or under 18, I think. In any event, glad you are with us. Jerry, before we take a call or two.
Yes.
The CDC is coming out with guidelines for people who have had both of their shots.
Yes.
Like me.
Like you. You, like me,
yeah,
like this young lady sitting right
that's
here.
Right.
That's
so,
right.
So
even like our president, who is ignoring the CDC guidelines.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no big surprise. But so what are those guidelines?
Well, the guidelines basically say that if you have had your immunization and you're fully immunized, that means you've either had the one shot of the one shot vaccine or both of your shots of the two shot vaccine. And it has been 3 or 4 weeks since you've been vaccinated, you are now permitted to visit with other people indoors without a mask. In fact, they don't have to be vaccinated people. You can now visit with, quote, low-risk unvaccinated people. Mm-hmm. And if one of those low-risk people that you are visiting with does come down with COVID, you do not have to be quarantined.
Good.
Isn't that kind of neat?
Yeah.
So basically what they're saying is that as long as you stay out of high-risk hotspots,
yes,
you basically can lead your life and do the things you need to do.
So will that take effect? For example, I fly a lot. Well, you do too. You're starting to fly.
That's the Center for Disease Control. Now, wait a minute. You've got to remember that the governors in most states are not following the Center for Disease Control guidelines.
Okay. That's right.
Neither are the airlines, nor the bus stations, nor the trains. No. In fact, our president has said everybody has to be masked. So he is not following the CDC guidelines. The CDC says if you're fully vaccinated, you do not need your mask, even indoors with unvaccinated people. The president, on the other hand, is not only telling us we must all be masked in order to travel, he's wearing two masks, though there is absolutely no clinical evidence showing that people wearing two masks get sick less often. You know, it is true that if you run a laboratory test in which you are spraying virus particles through masks, two masks stop the viral particles better than one. But when it comes to making people sick, no data whatsoever to support that. Come on, look at how many people can't get a tight fit for one mask around their face. It's either blowing up their cheeks on either side of the nose and fogging up their glasses, or it's going out the sides of the masks, or they're pulling the darn thing because it's covering up their mouth and they can't talk or breathe. So they're pulling the mask away. So people are getting loose fitting, not well fitted masks to start with. And that's with one mask. And then you throw a second mask on top of that and you really think you're going to get a tight fit?
So let me ask you, yeah, there's some real insanity here, but what really bothers me is I read an article just a day or two ago that talked about the difference between mask and no mask, and it was, about, at least the article that I read, it was very, very similar.
Well, it's a 1.5% difference.
That's what they're saying.
In infections.
1.5% difference.
Yes.
Oh, my golly. You would think with all of the... the hoopla that it would be like 80% or 90% smarter.
No, it's less than a 2% difference whether you wear a mask or not.
Oh, my golly. I still go nuts on my walks when I see people out there without anybody around them.
I know.
Within 500 yards, and they're wearing their mask.
I walk 3 or 4 miles 2 or 3 times a day, and I always kind of smile when I see somebody that's still 150 feet from me, pull their mask up because I'm not wearing one. You know, I'm fully vaccinated and I am not going to get within 10 feet of that person. And if I get within 20 feet, it'll be for maybe 2 seconds because we're going in opposite directions. And, but they, 150 feet away, they're pulling their mask up. And all I think is, Democrat.
Oh, that's true. But I mean, it's still so sad. And then when the families are out there walking the trails through the woods by our house and stuff like that, with the little kids wearing the masks out in the woods.
I know, it's silly. But I'm always shocked their dogs are not wearing masks.
Just wait. Anyway, well, this is fascinating. Well, with that in mind, how about we take another call?
Let's go to Buckley and talk to Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can we help?
Okay, can I give you a quick rundown on a...
needs to be quick.
Go ahead.
Needs to be quick.
A cholesterol test. It's cholesterol 266, triglycerides 154, HDL 51, LDL 184, and then it says non-LDL 215, and then it says the ratio is 5.22.
Yes.
Is that some high cholesterol?
Crummy, really crummy, yes. I would like to see your total cholesterol down at 180 or so, 160, 180. I'd like to see your LDL below 80, preferably down in the 70s. And your ratio of total cholesterol to HDL, I'd love to see that down around 3.4, 3.5 if I can.
3.45.
Yeah, okay. About four is, quote, normal. So, you know, if you want the average risk of heart disease, that ratio needs to be about four. But in a man, 3.6 is much better.
Right. Okay. This is my wife. So,
A woman should be lower. A woman, we shoot for about 3.4, 3.5 in a woman.
Okay. So I got a question. What's the best thing a person can actually take to lower their cholesterol?
Well, if you're just talking about lowering cholesterol, the statins work very, very well. Unfortunately, they have a significant impact, you know, on memory and brain function and muscle function. But if you're only thing you're looking at is cholesterol, the statins work very well for that.
I try to
avoid them if I can get the cholesterols in a good place without them. But there's about 5% of our patients we still need the statins for.
Right. She can't take them. It causes so bad of cramps that it almost is going to give her a heart attack with the pain.
Yeah, so. Well, then our goal with her would be to decrease her production of statins, and B, have her metabolize and burn them more efficiently. So, you know, but that's not, there's no one thing I can tell you that's going to accomplish that. That's why we have the clinic. We put her on a comprehensive program to change her metabolism and shift her towards making muscle instead of fat, to decrease her inflammation, you know, so that's what longevity exists for.
So does resveratrol or Prevagen actually help to decrease the senescent cells?
Resveratrol decreases the production of senescent cells. It inhibits the transformation from a healthy to a senescent cell. It doesn't get rid of senescent cells that already exist.
Okay. And there's nothing over the counter that a person could take to get rid of those besides?
No. Unfortunately, the most effective thing that has been published thus far is a combination of dasatinib and quercetin. Quercetin doesn't work very well by itself, but in conjunction with the dasatinib, it works very well.
Okay. I thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks, Charlie. And here we go again. We got to take a break. But that's okay. We're coming back. I've got Dr. Jerry Mix and Dr. Samira Umet. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. You don't want to go far. We're just getting started here.
Did you know coffee is the number two commodity in the world, only behind oil is number one? That's right. And with everyone staying at home as much as we are right now due to the pandemic, people are drinking more coffee than ever before. And Kamano Island Coffee is the very best of the very best. Organic Arabica beans, fairly traded, of course, grown at high altitudes and in the shade, which makes all the difference in the world, with incredibly low acidity and flavor that is simply outstanding. And here's a special longevity offer for you. If you consider yourself a coffee connoisseur, or you simply want the very best cup of coffee available, try a full pound of Kamano Island coffee for 99 cents. That's right, just 99 cents. You will taste the difference in your very first cup. A full pound for only 99 cents. Simply go to KamanoIslandCoffee.com/longevity. KamanoIslandCoffee.com/longevity.
The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop, but you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what longevity will do for you. As far as longevity goes, it is as close as you're going to get to the fountain of youth.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game.
I'll bet your Ponce de Leon would enjoy this song, too. Talking about the Fountain of Youth. Anyways. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Pete Talbot here. You're
kinda
listening.
I like the way you said it the first time. That's you, the Fountain of Me.
Yeah. The Fountain of You. Is medicine. We're glad you are here. Now, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
I have never asked you this, and I haven't heard an answer. So what's the difference, in your opinion, is the Pfizer, which is the best vaccine? I'll just leave it at that.
The one
which
I took.
Do you think? Well, me too. I got to believe it.
The best vaccine is the one that's available to you.
That's right. The two best vaccines thus far as this clinical studies go, are Pfizer and Moderna. And they're equivalent. They're less than 0.5% difference in effectiveness.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well within the statistical error. So those two are my first and second choices. The newer, I forget who makes the one shot.
Johnson.
It's 80-some% effective. So it is a significant drop.
Absolutely. There. Yeah.
And, the only one that we have proof that is going to be effective against the Brazilian variant is the Pfizer.
Okay.
That's the only one that's been tested against that one.
Aren't they building or creating a booster or something?
That's studies. Moderna is actually making a booster right now for the African variant.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's the African variant that we think is different enough that the current vaccines may not be as effective against.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that one, fortunately, is still very rare in the United States. So we don't really have much of the African variant around. But it is structurally different enough that at least the Johnson & Johnson variant or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is only about 50% protective against it. Although it's about 75 or 80% effective against the more standardized versions, so we know that at least that vaccine is not as good against the African variant. Good news is we don't have much of it around here yet.
Yeah.
Extrapolating from that, it could be that the Moderna and Pfizer will also be less effective, but we don't really know that either. That's all guessmanship. Moderna jumped on this about 6 or 8 weeks ago, as soon as the African variant was first identified and shown to bypass some of Johnson & Johnson's. They immediately started work on a African variant specific booster shot.
Interesting. Okay. So well, good.
If and when it becomes available is a different question.
Well, I've got two things that came across my desk, actually from friends. One called and left me a message. I didn't call her back. It's a friend I haven't seen forever, but she's absolutely not going to take the vaccine because she has heard there are fetal parts of babies, fetal particles in the vaccine. Where on earth would she ever get that?
For one thing, she probably got it from the Vatican.
The Vatican.
The Vatican has basically suggested that the Johnson & Johnson version not be consumed by observant Catholics if they have a choice of vaccines, which I thought was kind of an interesting hedge. But if you've got a choice because for moral reasons. So apparently someone in the Vatican apparently believes that this does have something to do with an aborted baby somewhere. However, Johnson & Johnson says absolutely not true.
I think there's also social media buzz, Jerry, about the ingredients, and people are reading some of the ingredient lists, and there's a big hype about the fact that this has parts. I think
with DNA, though, is Johnson & Johnson.
I know.
And the messenger RNA is with the Pfizer and Moderna ones that we took.
That's right.
And that's where most of the scare is coming out.
You know, I forget which one, but I know that some of my patients have also said that to me, that they will absolutely not take this vaccine because it has this, that, or the other.
I know. But when I have checked with the company, they say, disinformation. Now, they don't say Russian disinformation. they simply say it is untrue. So we'll see.
So Nancy Pelosi wasn't the one that said that it was the Russians.
It doesn't appear to be Russian disinformation.
Good.
Probably because it doesn't involve the Biden crime family, yes.
Okay. All right. So another thing hit me. I was talking with not a close friend, but somebody that I've met 10, 15 times. Absolutely refuses to take the vaccine because, don't you know, 1 out of 10 people who take the vaccine die.
Oh, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
Oh, she was absolutely convinced. She going to read the report and send it to me. She never did.
Of course not, because it's not true.
I said, there's no way 10% it's 1 of 10.
10% don't die. Serious allergic reactions have been found in about 900 people worldwide.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's a proportion, right? How many millions have been vaccinated? So yes. Don't forget that. Don't think 900 is a large number in relationship
right.
to how
That's
many millions
nothing.
Have been.
Now, there have been deaths. But again, most of the deaths have been extremely elderly, fragile, frail people. And the question is, should you be vaccinating people that are on death's door to start with?
Mm.
You know? And in this country, our answer is yes. We consider those to be the highest risk people, ergo we will vaccinate them. China will not vaccinate anybody over 60.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I don't think we all want to hear why.
Well, because they're old and they're going to die anyway.
Over 60?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? We got to remember, though, the lifespan in China is significantly lower than us. It's in the upper 60s, low 70s now. I always loved it when people, you know, would say, oh, and there are these, you know, Chinese monks out
yeah,
there that live to be 140 years old
right.
and they're all, you know, playing croquet or something. No, China is a third world country. Well, second world these days, but it has a very short lifespan compared to the Western world.
Interesting.
Well, they smoke like chimneys.
Yes. I remember when I was there last, we went in and big signs, no smoking. And we went in and had dinner with, had my grandkids there and what have you. No smoking signs up. And there's like four, it was kind of small restaurant, four other tables. And they were all smoking
yes.
while they were eating. Yes. They'd have a cigarette in their hand.
And they'll put the cigarette out on the no smoking sign.
Yeah.
Really? Well, maybe because non-smoking was written in English.
Well,
yeah, you Americans can't smoke.
That's right. It was just bizarre. They do like to smoke over there.
They smoke heavily. But, you know, China is just an interesting place. But they have shorter lifespans. And right now they are limiting the vaccine to the younger, healthier people. They're at less risk of having a bad reaction and toppling over from the vaccine.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
But you really realize this was a country that last June, before the vaccine had even finished its human trials, they went through and vaccinated their entire army.
Mm.
All of China's military was vaccinated in June of last year because they want their soldiers ready to fight. Mm. We, on the other hand, are going to do transsexual surgeries on ours. So it's true. There's just an executive order for the military to, we are now authorizing transsexual gender changes on soldiers in America.
Was that an exact? Biden did that too.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely guy. Okay. Well, this is sort of relating to something that also came up just this week. I got an email. I forwarded it on to you. An 86-year-old who had a situation with a colonoscopy 3 years ago. Seven polyps, 3 years before that, 12 or something like that. Well, his doctor just told him, because he was due for another one. At least that was the original plan.
The original plan.
But his doctor said, no, you don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And so you called him.
I called him.
He wanted help.
He wanted some help, and Pete passed the email on to me, and...
You called him.
I was sitting in my living room and gave him a call. And so... This is one of my pet peeves. Mm. It was clear from this fellow's note that it sounded like people were just not going to treat him because he was old, because he's in his 80s.
Oh,
he's, I forget what, 86?
He was 84. I don't know. But mid-80s. 80s. Yeah, yeah.
And they told him, you know, he shouldn't have, he didn't need another colonoscopy. Now, he's had two previous colonoscopies, and in each of those colonoscopies, he had multiple polyps. He had a 6 or 7 in one and 3 or 4 in the other, mm-hmm. which tells me he is a polyp former, which means he is at very high risk of developing a colon cancer. Mm. And so why on earth wouldn't you check this? Mm. Well, it's simply a matter of cost. It costs enough to do the colonoscopy, and the number of person lives saved if he did have a colon cancer is the government just doesn't believe that it's worth the money. And so Medicare doesn't want to pay for it. Hmm. And so the doctors have all gotten the word and the hospital is saying, no, we just don't want to do the studies. Yeah. When I chatted with him, he gave me a second story too, that he was found to have a tumor in his kidney.
Really?
A couple of years ago.
He didn't tell me that. No.
And he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, no, we're just going to watch it. And he said, well, why not? Hmm. And the guy said, well, you know, if you were 50, we'd go in and take this out. And if you were 60, we'd think about it first. And if you were 70, well, we'd probably get a panel of doctors together and decide whether or not to take it out. But, you know, you're... At that time, you're pushing 80, and he said, "We're just, you know, we just don't recommend doing it." Hmm. So he went to a different doctor.
Okay.
And the other doctor also didn't want to do it. So, but that doctor referred him to a oncologist.
Okay.
Who said, "Look, if you really are interested in doing this, despite your advanced age, you know, let me refer you to a procedural radiologist." Hmm. And he did, and he went to the procedural radiologist. He said, "Sure, I can do this through a scope." Hmm. You know, we don't have to give you a general anesthetic. We don't have to knock you out. Because that's part of the fear.
That's the fear, yeah.
When you've got an 80-year-old and you give him a general anesthetic.
Yes.
And you do a major surgical procedure, it's going to be tough for him to recover.
Recover. So mm-hmm. comorbidities will affect recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And age is a significant comorbidity. But they said they gave him light sedation. They dropped the scope in. They shelled out the tumor. This has now been 3 years ago. Hmm. He just had another MRI. It's not growing. Everything is copacetic, and he's happy as a clam. Hmm. My point, just because you're old doesn't mean that you don't need medical care.
Sure.
But we've got this thing developing that if you're old, it's not worth it to help you.
Hmm.
Now, if he was old and demented, you know, if he were like the guy in the White House, I'd say, sure, don't worry about him. But this is a guy whose brain is functioning very well. He's sharp as a tack. He knows exactly what's going on. He's running his own life and running it well. He deserves decent medical care. So,
yeah, it was sad. It made me feel bad. His voicemail that I got, he sounded very... capable, very upbeat. Mm-hmm. He just was frustrated with his doctors and wanted help from you.
My answer is go find another doctor and get your colonoscopy.
Well, you know, I've had a couple of calls this week of younger patients who've had some medical issues, acute GI issues with diarrhea, and one of them mentioned that the primary care refused to see them. So they had to go to an urgent care facility, and the stool analysis were negative, and even then the primary care wouldn't see them. They've said that because of diarrhea, they can't come to the clinic. The patient has had a negative COVID test, the stool analysis was negative, but the doctor can't see them.
Folks, this is...
Well, yeah, the doctor will only see sick, healthy people. You can't see sick folks.
That's right, of course.
I don't know.
Just one more reason, folks, why you need people like these two doctors right here from Longevity Medical Clinic to give you the advantage of the latest information and for the best care possible. If you would like a free health analysis appointment, oh, I hope you'll grab one at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. They're free. Plus, we give you $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in to a free appointment to get those two free tests. Pretty silly not to do it at lmclinic.com. Hey, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Don't go far. It won't be long at all. And you'll be listening to the beginning of hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine.